This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere.
What's going on, Caps fans? It's me, the Hockey Show, and I'm back with that snack, Poly Cupcakes.
Hey, hey.
Caps fans, this is our regrettably last Thursday epi. We'll be going to Monday epis only while we cover the Stanley Cup playoffs and into the finals to when the cup is awarded, and then we'll likely take our off-season break. We'd like to thank you so much for chilling with us, being awesome fans, and supporting us along the way.
Yes, thank you. We love you, mean it.
Love you, mean it. There's a lot of things that are going to be happening in the off season. We may put out a sporadic episode every once in a while, but for the most part, we go quiet on the off season. So, Polly, what do you say we just pop some tabs and get into it?
Let's do it.
One, two, three.
Polly, Caps Chirp Hockey has had a pretty good week last week.
Yeah, yeah. We were hitting it, huh?
Absolutely. The Breakers, which is our roller hockey team, is now in the championship game three, which is of a three-game series. It's crazy that they'd even do this. Paul, have you ever played in a beer league that they even have three-game series?
No. That's, you know, the first time we made the playoffs in this league, I was very surprised to receive that news. I don't hate it. It can be a little inconvenient at times for us who have to drive an hour for the game, but right. In terms of gameplay, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, a lot of free hockey. It happened during in Tunnel Green in Wheeling. They tried it.
Yeah.
And there were times where, like, it just, I think at one point it was almost up to a 5-game series for the championship. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was 3 games until the championship was 5. For the listeners, Tunnel Green is the name of a recreation area near an old railroad tunnel. And there's a baseball field, a basketball court, tennis court, and a roller hockey court that they threw in.
All outdoor. That is
all outdoor, yeah. And it is pretty much,
it's chain link fences. There's no boards. Yeah. It's chain link fences. It's fucking jail rules, bro.
It is. It's only about, 10 feet on each side longer than a basketball court. So, it is a mini hockey area. It is a Thunderdome in there.
Yeah, you want to talk about small area games. Tunnel Green is a small area game. We played it 4-on-4, no offsides, which is crazy, using the red line as offsides. But, it was good then, but, a lot of times teams would just bail and be like, okay, you win, because, we can't even get the boys together that many times. Here at RMU in Pittsburgh, we have been getting the team together, and I will say this is the best roller hockey that I've played ever, I think.
Yeah, it's fast. Doesn't look fast on video, but it feels fast when we're playing. And the game two, I didn't make game one, but game two, it was a high speed game. It felt like we were playing real hockey. There was offensive zone possessions. It was a low scoring game. It was 3-2 was the final, which is pretty low for roller hockey, really.
In overtime.
Both games have gone to overtime. The pace, it was kicking my butt for sure. It's been fun. And, by the time this comes out, we either will have won or have lost. So if you're on the stream, you're getting the news first. But we'll give you an update next week how it went. But we got the game Monday night. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and then our game two, so we've split the series. We lost in overtime, then we won in overtime. Hockey Trolls good for 2 assists in the second game, the last 2 assists to even it up and then to win. Polly Cupcakes here, Johnny on the spot, absolutely buried the game winner, though I will say that 90% of that work was me.
You did do a lot of work to get that puck to me. You did. You came out of the box after which penalty was that? Was that the checking penalty?
I tripped a guy. So earlier in the game, we're setting the tone. You know how I do. We're setting the tone. I totally just hit one of the biggest dudes. And you're not supposed to do any of that. Hit him and he fell down and I got 2 minutes for that. And then we kill that. We come back out. And I had to take this last penalty because in roller hockey, it's really, you know, a lot of guys can't stop. And it's not like ice where you can stop and go. Some guys can, but I can't. A guy was just going against the grain on us. And I looked up and I looked at my whole line, all 3 of the guys that are out there with me, and saw if this guy gets past me, it's a breakaway. So I just tripped him. Well, I went for the puck, but it was a quick play and he ended up getting tripped down. I'm in the box and they say, Cappy tells me to go out. I go out, I hound the puck, and then I turn it over and then just tape to tape pass, turn it. I mean, that was a athletic play. First of all, turn it over, stopping, spotting you, giving you tape to tape. I was thinking about it today because it was a great job for you catching the pass. But you were body to body with a guy. I feel like there probably wasn't many other ways that I could give you the pass and have you retain possession.
Yeah, I think you did pretty much put it where it had to be for me to make a play on it. And I just grabbed it, and I think I beat him short side between the leg and the pipe. I'm pretty sure that's where it went in.
Incredible. I was going for a rebound. I was ready to die for any cause, and I see the puck go in, and I go, oh, thank God. And, of course, there was like, let's fucking go. I was amped about it. We win the game, and, yeah, I mean, and this was after we were both out there for a goal against to tie it up late. Like, it was a barn burner, man.
Yeah, they scored with, like, what, 20 seconds left or something. Yeah. And it was just a scramble. It went off of like somebody's leg or something, but
ended up in the back.
I would have ended up having an assist as well, but in roller hockey, many people don't know this. There is no secondary assist in roller hockey.
Right, primary. So your
first assist, I did set you up, and then you set someone else up, but that's okay because at the end of the day, all that matters is the dub.
Exactly. And I mean, you got the game winner in OT, huge. I don't think I've ever done that. So good for you. But, you know, like I say, all offense funnels through Hockey Troll on this team. So,
well, I definitely did that night.
All right. Let's talk about something that people actually care about. Let's get some league news in. So as some of these teams have obviously been shutting down because they're not in the playoffs, the Never Say Die Lindy Ruff is now back in Buffalo as things are being made, as like I said, end of season happens. The Buffalo Sabres are running it back with Lindy Ruff, dude. I mean, look, I respect the hell out of Lindy Ruff. I think he's awesome. But what kind of coach has this longevity, right? He coached for like 20 years with Buffalo, leaves, goes to Dallas as an assistant, gets the head coaching job at New Jersey, gets re-upped on his contract year because he led New Jersey with Andrew Brunette as an assistant coach, leads them to the playoffs. This year, they absolutely implode. Lindy seemingly loses the locker room, and then Buffalo says, fuck it, let's run it back, Lindy.
Yeah, you know, it kind of feels like it's like getting back with an ex. This could either be a huge mistake or they could be finding forever love here.
Right. This is a head scratcher. Look, like I said, I love Lindy Ruff, but like at what point do you put him out to pasture? I don't know. I thought his time was over when he left Buffalo. I thought that like he maybe had a couple years left. He shoved that right up my hoop and has clearly shown that he's a very capable NHL coach still. It almost feels like, though, that Lindy Ruff is a developmental coach, you know, and that's not something that you're probably when you were thinking about Lindy Ruff in his first stint in Buffalo. It wasn't just a developmental coach. It was a guy who could do the full cycle. And I think that more and more now we're seeing coaches that can't, that's not how they're hired. There's coaches like Peter Laviolette who will go in and win. I can't think of any proven coaches anymore. And again, the revolving door of coaches in the NHL is well documented, but like who has taken a team from absolute first round draft pick dog shit to cup winner. I think Jared the last Bednar. Guy may have been like, and I don't even think Babcock. I don't think maybe Quinville.
Jared Bednar.
Okay. Bednar. Fair enough. But Bednar had many coaches before him with Nathan MacKinnon in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he definitely didn't, step in and MacKinnon's darkest hour, but I mean, he took him from I'd say he's the closest to what you're describing.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a fair comparison. But even him, you know, you could argue that like he kind of had the team set, you know, before he retooled a couple pieces. It's not like they went through a full blown rebuild like Lindy Ruff did with Buffalo multiple times, right? So. Crazy. I mean, hey, you know what? Maybe that's the vibes that they're. Maybe they've identified that Lindy Ruff is maybe a developmental coach and they want a couple years with the guys that they have. But they also probably have enough faith in him to say, if the boys get hot at the right time, he's the guy that could also lead them to a cup.
Yeah, I mean, they were sniffing a playoff spot up until the last couple weeks. So I think there's definitely something to work with there for them. And, hell, I'd love to see him take them to win the Atlantic next year.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Buffalo shipped out Mittelstadt. They shipped out some guys this year. Maybe they are trying to retool. And that's another thing is, that, like, what did the GM do right before they hired Lindy Ruff? And they kind of – they didn't blow it up. But they jettisoned some talent for some future considerations, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I hope it works out. I wouldn't mind seeing Buffalo get one. I feel like that town has suffered a lot.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And you know what? I went to Buffalo last year and cool town. I actually really enjoyed my time there in upstate New York. And I thought Buffalo was, you know, a working class town with a lot of like a lot of, you know, kind of rough edges, but charm nonetheless. So hey, good luck to Buffalo. This is it was crazy. What do you got there?
I won this trophy in Buffalo.
Did you?
Yeah, it's the only trophy I kept. The rest of them, I scraped off the nameplates for maybe later scrapbooking, but I kept this actual trophy. It was our little team from Wheeling went up to Buffalo, New York, and grabbed a championship when I was in fifth grade.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, last episode, we talked about how Pauly Cupcakes obediently faked the knee in the victory formation to gain 5 yards in the second game of an eighth grade season.
You know, I never even thought twice about that either.
About your, fake?
Like, you saying obediently, like, that is so accurate, because I was just like, okay.
Yeah. Pauly Cupcakes, the ultimate soldier.
Yeah.
And good for you. No parents gave you any shit or anybody any shit after that game?
No one did.
Okay, well, and you were winning.
Yeah,
which makes it worse. Okay, all right, well. Oh, Jesus Christ. Dude, that's fucking hilarious. Either way, if you haven't heard that story, please go back one episode. It's a good one. More coach movement. The Sharks end up firing David Quinn. I think it's David. Yeah, David Quinn. You know, pretty blue eyes of developmental coach. A guy that's touted as a player's coach who's going to get these guys ready and yada yada. Goes to the dumpster fire Sharks. And honestly, I just feel like management was forced to fire Quinn. I don't think this is any of his fault.
Yeah. It's probably hard to justify as the GM to the owner. Like, why are you not firing this guy who had one of the worst seasons we can remember?
In all of NHL history, yeah.
Yeah.
At least in the cap era.
Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Quinn might land somewhere else. Maybe an assistant job somewhere. I'm sure that he would fit in great if he wants to take that. Or, you know, these guys are making millions of dollars a year. If I got fired, I'd just take a year off, bro. Barry Trotz style.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. I would, a year vacation, man. That sounds great.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I would know, so. let's talk about the NHL playoffs at large after I pay the bills. The chase of the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NHL. From start of the playoffs, beards, all the way till the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get 200 bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. Polly, tell us how the NHL playoffs are summing up.
Well, right now, as of Sunday night, Vegas is beating Dallas 2-1.
I had Vegas winning the series.
You had Vegas winning the series?
Yeah.
So as of right now, are you sticking with that?
Yes. I think Vegas
You're going to stick with it? Okay.
Yeah.
I think Vegas is going to win this series too. You know, not that these are predictions, but I guess just kind of like a midway check-in and see how we feel.
Right. I mean, I made this bracket like last week.
Yeah. Well, Colorado is up 3-1 on Winnipeg. Winnipeg beat Colorado, I think it was 7-6 in game one. And yeah. Colorado took that personally.
Yeah, and it's been all Colorado since.
Yeah, Colorado in these three games. I mean, I haven't watched a whole lot of everybody else's outside of the Caps series and the Avalanche, and I've watched a little bit of Boston-Toronto, but Colorado looks like a very scary team. They are fast. They get on the puck. I think they would have a very interesting series with New York if they were to meet up.
So I have Winnipeg here in 7 or in 6. So that's not going to happen, but I have them moving. But I have Winnie moving on. I just figured the Jets would finally figure it the fuck out.
No, man, I think all they have is Hellebuck.
And that might be. Dude, I have them going all the way to the cup.
Oh man.
Yeah, this could be disastrous for my bracket. It might have just blown. But I also had the Caps going to the cup, so this back bracket's fucking trashed.
Yeah, there you go. Vancouver is up 3-1 on Nashville. I think actually Vancouver, I think they had a big goal spurt today.
They did. So on Sunday, Vancouver clawed their way back down 3-1 to win an OT and take control of this series. I had Vancouver in the Western Conference final. I probably should have picked them to go on.
I had Vancouver winning this one. I was kind of hoping Nashville would, because they looked really good in the last couple months. Yeah. But I think Vancouver is going to win. I think Nashville is going to grab one more. Vancouver is going to win this in six. But Vancouver, I mean, they're good. They're not frauds.
No, and I had Vancouver in five. I was really downplaying what Nashville's been up to. I just don't think that Nashville has the depth to compete long term.
No, not yet, for sure.
Right. And then tell us.
Can you hear my dog in the background? She's dreaming. So there was a game going on during our recording process of the two episodes, and that was Edmonton and the Kings, and Edmonton just took a 3-1 series lead with a 1-0 win in game four. This is a matchup that every time I see it, I'm really hoping the Kings win. I don't think they will, but I don't know. I just, if I was ever going to see a Canadian team win the cup, I'd want it to be Winnipeg or Ottawa, and the rest of them can just never win again, in my opinion.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, it'd be sweet to see LA, and I think I'm just kind of holding on to some nostalgia. I'd love to see these guys from the. I mean, they don't really have the old core, but they have a few of the guys. It'd be cool to see Kopitar make one more run, but I don't think that it's not happening this year. That's for sure.
Yeah, I had Edmonton in seven. I thought that the Kings were going to put up a good fight, but ultimately lose.
Well, I mean, they put up a good fight tonight, 1-0.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't far off from tying up the series. I mean, holding Edmonton to a 1-0 game and that goal is not Connor McDavid, that's a pretty good effort.
Yep, no doubt, no doubt. So, let's go east.
Yeah, so the Battle of Florida. Well, first of all, we already know what happened in the Nashville or the New York Washington, so we'll skip that because we know that series.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, the Battle of Florida. The Panthers were one game away from sweeping the Lightning, but Tampa Bay did get one. So that series is 3-1. I think Florida looks really good, and it's going to take a pretty good effort to stop them from repeating as Eastern Conference champs. Florida and New York Rangers would be a very good conference championship.
Yeah, and you know, I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I thought Florida was going to take this in six. Obviously, they're staving off elimination, but I just feel like Tampa Bay is sunsetting a little bit.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking that too. I think they're at the end of their run. You know, they had like 10 years of being on the cusp.
Right.
And then they went three cups in a row. And I think that's kind of, they've hit their ceiling.
Yeah. Yep. So Boston, Toronto, Jesus Christ, dude. What a shit show. And, you know, Toronto media and, like, obviously the hockey world revolves around Toronto, but their rival, their arch rival, Boston, has absolutely said, get fucked.
Yeah, they have. I mean, those games have been interesting when I've had them turned on. It definitely feels like a robbery.
Yeah.
I thought it was really funny in the first game, Max Domi was giving Marchand shit. And you could just see Marchie like roll his eyes because at this point, Marchie, I mean, I haven't seen him do a whole lot of scumbag stuff this season or the last couple of years. I feel like he's kind of gotten to the point where he just probably just wants to play hockey and doesn't want to be a goof anymore. And so,
I mean, he's just maybe. Like, you can never kill a rat.
Yeah, but I mean, he definitely doesn't feel like he's in, or maybe it just has to be his idea, and that's why he was annoyed with it. But yeah, that was...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, that was funny to see that, because you could tell that Domi was just out for him in game one.
Yeah, and in game one, you know, Boston ran roughshod 5-1. The Maple Leafs eke out a close win against Boston, and then Boston responds by 4-2 win, and then they win again. Like, I don't know. You saw there. I don't know if you've seen Twitter, but like, Austin Matthews and Nylander came back, drew back into the lineup healthy, and is just like shitting on Mitch Marner. It seemed like they were kind of talking to Marner, and Marner was like palms up, and then he threw his gloves. Not great optics there, and of course, hockey media jumped on it. But either way, I think that Boston's got this. I think Boston is definitely a more gritty team.
Oh yeah,
and I think that they're pissed that they shit the bed last year.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I would suspect if they meet Florida, Florida wins, but I think it'll take seven, and there will be a couple overtime games.
I feel like Boston matches up better, somewhat well against Florida. I think that they could gut it out and go to the conference final, Boston.
Yeah. They'll give them trouble, that's for sure. And they've got a nice mix of some young guys and what's left of the core who had been to the Cup, and you really can't count them out.
Right. Florida, though, does seem like a powerhouse. And then finally we have the other Metro matchup with the Islanders and the Canes. I had the Canes all the way here. I think that was pretty automatic for them. I think that they probably have one of the easier matchups. You know, our boy, Patrick Waugh has led the Islanders to a pretty hot end of season streak. I think they went 8-0. In their last eight, they literally won out, got that third spot. But man, New York has all these kind of disjointed pieces, the Islanders do, and I just don't think that all of them in concert are good enough to take on Carolina, who has been on the cusp for a couple years now, and they're 100% win now. Just as Boston is, just as Florida is, just as a lot of the West Coast teams are, you look at the past couple seasons, Brian McClellan said a lot of the same teams from last year are buying again this year, and they're doubling down. And I think that you're finally seeing some of it come to fruition for some of these teams, namely Carolina, and I would say Boston to some extent, but Florida as well. Yeah. And when it comes to the East.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the teams who are in win now mentality, they're all leading their series and about to win them. So it'll be interesting when they all meet up in the next round. I think the second round for the East will definitely be much more entertaining than the first has been, because there were almost three sweeps.
Yeah, and I think that you're going to see some rested teams. You know, like, everybody's going to be rested, and it's just going to be a waiting game to see some fireworks. I'm very anxious. I'm very excited to see this next round for the East primarily, but, you know, definitely the West as well, and see what shakes out there. Ultimately, though, first round has not been close.
No, not in the East. You know, in the West, the I mean, the Colorado one is really the only one that kind of feels like a blowout to me. I think the other series have been tight games. I mean, there's been tight games on the East too, but it just seems like it's definitely a more competitive first round on the West.
Yeah. Or just lack of talent, you know, because, you know, the East is the more skilled, I'd say. But
You and your East Coaster bias.
I am an East Coaster bias for sure. And you know what? That Colorado series, though, isn't over.
No,
The
it's not.
Winnipeg Jets need to figure it the fuck out. They knew, and you know, maybe they took advantage of a lackadaisical Colorado, but they have shown that they could score at will. And dude, they have all the weapons, man. Connor, Lowry, Shifley, like, is it Shifley? No. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Yeah,
then,
Blake Wheeler is the one who's gone.
okay, yeah. And then they have Hellebuck, Ehlers, Nicholas Ehlers. Yeah. Dude. They need to get it together. And I mean, because for that core, this may be like a dwindling thing. This may not
Yeah.
be very long lived. I guess if you were going to look at like the Gramps in the West, they're probably one of the older teams, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're priming up for a Capitals type run here in a year or two. They're a perennial first and second round exit. Once it gets to the point, they'll quit having hype, and that's when they'll make their run.
Yeah, they need to have zero expectations for sure. So yeah, I mean that's a pretty crazy first round, you know, not very competitive in the East, but you know, and look, everybody's shitting on Toronto, but Toronto could turn this around just as quickly as could I think Tampa Bay, but as of right now, I'm comfortable with my picks that Boston moves on and Florida moves on in the top bracket. Obviously, we know the Caps aren't moving on. So, Carolina, who looks like they're pretty much primed as well, that Carolina versus New York, that's probably the hockey that ultimately hockey fans want to see.
Yeah, I think that'll be pretty wild.
So much speed and skill on both of those teams. And then it'll be a cool kind of, I guess, juxtaposition to see that Florida, if they move on, play the Bruins, because the Bruins are, you know what you get with them, man. Like, they're a team defense type, you know, wait till you make a mistake and then capitalize on it, but also, you know, fuel the offense too a bit versus a kind of high flying Florida team.
Yeah.
So, Capstans, that's the lay of the land right now with the NHL playoffs. Polly, now the Caps are out of it, who I said were going to win the cup, so obviously my bracket's completely fucked. Who's winning the cup, man?
Well, you know, I'm pulling for the Avalanche. You know, I do like to see teams who haven't won a cup or haven't won in a long time win. So seeing someone like Florida, I wouldn't hate. I like when things go full circle. So if Carolina won, having Rod the Bod win as a coach and a player would be cool.
Yeah.
I think it'd be nice for Laviolette to get another cup.
If he got another, okay, dude, here's the thing about Laviolette. If he gets another cup, he'll be the only other coach other than Scotty Bowman to win with two teams.
Yeah. I mean, if he wins, that's two teams he's won the cup with and two others that he's taken to the cup.
And I think that would solidify him securely into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's probably working on a hall. I think he's already in, but this would make it zero argument.
Yeah.
Fucking Rangers. He had to do it with the fucking Rangers, though. Like, that's what pisses me off.
Yeah, I know, right?
He could have done
Because
it with the Caps.
he was the head coach when the Predators lost to the Penguins, right? Not Trotz.
Correct.
Yeah, so he's lost the cup with Nashville and Philly.
Correct.
I was actually thinking how funny it'd be if he just beat all of his former teams on the way to the winning a cup. you know,
yeah,
Washington, then New York, or Washington, then Carolina, and then Nashville in the championship.
Yeah, that would be quite the story. You know, and that's what I love about the NHL playoffs, man. There's just so much drama involved in history, you know?
Yeah, it's better than daytime television.
Where the hell do you... I mean, that's the whole rivalry thing as well. I mean, you look at Toronto playing Boston. It's a huge rivalry, right? You know, you could even go as far as to say, like, the Avs and the Preds aren't a bad one. You know, there's something to be made of there. The Kings and the Oilers. There's something to pull on. There's threads that you could pull on every single one of these series, and that's what's great about it. Other than Vegas, they're just fucking frauds who are new and nobody likes them. So hopefully they lose immediately.
Yeah. And then the Stars lose after that.
Yeah, right. I mean, think about this. A Stars-Avs series.
I don't like it. I was very happy that the Stars won the division and the Avalanche got Winnipeg instead of Dallas.
Yeah, that would have been a good one. That would have been a really good one. So yeah, we'll see. Caps fans, even though our team's out of it, remember, this is the most wonderful time of year. You should be loving hockey. And honestly, I mean, the Washington Capitals season didn't end the way that we wanted, but at the same time, it was crazy enough that we were there in the first place, and you still have NHL playoff hockey, and a lot of these storylines, a lot of these builds that are going into this playoff are at least 2 years of wheeling and dealing to get to this point, if not more.
Yeah, it's juicy.
It is, it is. Well, Caps fans, tune into us on Monday. Remember, we're only doing Monday episodes from here on out. We'll be talking about the playoffs. We'll do a week in review, cut it up, get a little bit deeper. But we wanted to catch you up, and obviously we're a little preoccupied with the coverage of the Caps. But now that it is, that we're happy that it happened and that it's gone, we'll be able to concentrate a little bit more, a little widespread, and watch a little bit more hockey. I mean, Paulie, I know you're going to be watching the Avs. I'm probably just going to watch as much as I can.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely be turning on East Coast games at 7 o'clock. And, I'll watch as much as much as I can.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Caps fans, we'll see you on Monday. Until then, Hockey Trail Poly Cupcake, sign off.
Bye.
Hey, Caps fans. Thanks for tuning in to the official Caps Chirp podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, The Hockey Troll, at Hockey Trollin' on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
You follow me, Paulie Cupcakes, at Paulie _Cupcakes on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network at HockeyPodNet on social and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.